Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to Raise the Vibe on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. This morning's topic is Ayurveda with Kale Ballazer, owner of Life in Balance here on Vashon. How do we stay in balance? How do we raise the vibe, keep our vibration, our energy up when there's so much in and around us that seems to seep in? We can move our bodies through exercise, meditate, pray, watch what we're putting in our bodies, get out into nature, and choose healthy practices. Ayurveda is one of those practices, the oldest medical science in the world that can help us on our journey. And I'm thrilled to be learning more about this ancient technique with Kale this morning. Kale, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Kale, would you like to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So let's see. I've been living here on Vashon with my family, my kids and my two kids, one in sophomore and one in seventh grade. My husband, our animal creatures, for about 7 years now. I've had my business, Life in Balance, for the past, oh my gosh, I've been doing Ayurveda natural therapeutics for about 20 years. And I think I've had Life in Balance maybe for the last 14 years. So I was in Seattle and now on Vashon. I also have another business called Ayurvedic Wisdom for Women that I run with Sarah Cruz, and that's more of an online program. So yeah, so I have a center here on Vashon where I do, people come over for retreats. For, I just had a woman here for a week-long retreat from Texas, and we do treatments, consultations. I don't know, I'm sure we'll get more into that.
Fabulous. That sounds lovely. A whole week of treatments.
Yeah.
Okay. So what brought you to Ayurveda?
Oh, good question. Well, I think what brought me to holistic healing in the first place was a car accident I was in. So working on healing my own body, I got interested. And then I, after college, I studied pre-med and I decided to go to massage school. And that was so transformational for me. I loved it. I loved the hands-on, actually connecting with people with their healing. And in massage school in New Mexico, I learned about Ayurveda, and it just made so much sense to me.
Great.
So,
what is Ayurveda?
Ayurveda is the science of life and longevity, is what it means. And it's a holistic science. So it includes the body, the mind, and the spirit. And it looks at us, you know, what makes it different is that it looks at us each as unique individuals. So how we're made up of the elements, the five elements, ether, air, fire, and water, and earth, and then how those elements come together to express in different qualities on a physical level and also an emotional, spiritual level. So Ayurveda, you know, it's not like, oh, do this diet or live this way, but it's always asking for whom. So it looks at each of us uniquely and how to bring ourselves into balance, like looking at what's your true nature, how did you come in, what's your strength and challenges, and then how do you bring yourself back to that balance and really bring yourself in balance with nature.
Oh, wonderful. So, God, that sounds like a great, great technique. So why would someone come to you, to your business for Ayurveda?
So I get so many different things that people are interested in when they come, just looking at the last couple of weeks who I've had, but digestion is always a big one. So people struggling with digestive issues across the board. So it might be pain, it might be acid reflux, heartburn, indigestion, or just feeling bloated and not good with what they're eating. So trying to figure out the way to eat. And so Ayurveda looks at how to eat, when to eat, and different aspects. So any diet, you can address Ayurveda with your digestion. Also, a lot of people deal with insomnia, pain, weight loss. Just wanting to feel better. So a lot of those things that drive us to make change.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they would come to you for emotional issues as well, and not just physical issues. Can you name some of the emotional aspects?
Yeah. So it's not, let's see here. I love working with the emotional body because it really, you can't separate the physical and the emotional. And so to get to the deep core issue of anything someone's dealing with would be to look at the emotional. It's not always the thing, although I do EFT, which is emotional freedom technique. So when I do that specifically, people are definitely coming for dealing with PTSD or loss or trauma or just not feeling connected to themselves in some way, or phobias, fears, right? So they're really specifically coming in. A lot of times for Ayurveda, it's the physical manifestation that brings them in, but where we go to work is on both the physical and really the emotional, because when you work in that way, the healing is so much faster. So can I tell you about a client that just came in last week?
Yes, that would be great.
So she's actually someone that I've been working with preparing to do Panchakarma. Panchakarma is the traditional Ayurvedic cleanse and rejuvenation programs. So we've been preparing her for a couple months working together. So we were doing lifestyle changes, we were doing dietary changes, herbs, which are all things we include. Ayurveda is also a sister science of yoga. So we had her on a pranayama breath practice, relaxation. Yeah, because we know now, right, that stress is definitely a big cause of physical manifestation. So people are getting more aware of that. So they do. So yeah, in the yoga tradition, definitely people are looking more for that stress reduction, which is the sister science of Ayurveda. So anyway, back to her. She has some liver issues, liver disease. And when she came in to do her retreat, you know, she was feeling a lot better than she had 2 months prior, but she was still dealing with some extreme pain throughout her whole body, and particularly in her liver, this constant pain. And so we started doing some of the emotional work. We were getting down to some of the core issues that she was dealing with. And after a day of having this big release where she felt like the next day she thought about the issue, and she was like, there's nothing there. Like, there's no charge.
What a great experience.
And she said, is this how it's supposed to feel? Like, nothing there anymore. No tears, no adrenaline rush in the body. And I was like, yeah. She's like, can it happen this fast? I said, I guess so. Yes. You know, why not? And so, but what she then experienced on a physical level is, like, her shoulders were dropped. She said, I feel like everything's just dropped down. And the pain in her body was completely gone. And even in her liver. So yeah, the liver is the seat of anger. Right. So each of our organs hold an emotion. So yeah, so we can't really address the whole without that emotional
piece. Her pain in her liver was letting her know, hey, this is ready. It's up to be released.
Yeah.
You know, and your services were able to help her let that go.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That you could provide that for her. So what are some lifestyle, you mentioned lifestyle changes. So what are some lifestyle changes that Ayurveda offers us?
Oh, man. You know, just around, wow, it's like, what area are we talking about? And it's always for whom. So I always start with the individual, like what's going to make the biggest impact for them. So a lot of Ayurveda is about our rhythms and bringing our own natural rhythms into balance with nature. So if you think about the sun rising, the sun setting, it's like getting up in the morning early enough with that rising sun. And then again, it depends on you, your individual constitution, how you're made up of these elements. But so that right there is key for releasing stress, for good sleep, for good digestion. It's just getting our rhythms down. So a lot of times it's like getting your rhythms of sleep and waking cycles down is huge for impacting our rest and our sense of energy. But also when we eat, you know, eating in rhythms like that, the time of the day when the sun is highest in the sky, right, that midday is when our digestion, our what we call in Ayurveda, our Agni, our digestive fire, it's all the enzymatic reactions, is strongest in our body. So Ayurveda says eat your main meal during that time of day.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, so Ayurveda cues us in. These are just a few little examples of ways that you would start to bring in practices.
Yeah. Right. So you mentioned sleep. When we eat, is there anything else?
So around our stress, so accessing meditation, so bringing in meditation practices or pranayama breath practices would be useful. We also integrate herbs. And
how would you use herbs in your practice?
Well, I usually don't give herbs the first session. Mm-hmm. So people usually begin with me by doing an Ayurvedic consultation. And I like people to see that their lifestyle is the major part of their well-being. So they feel like they're in control, like, because you are, you know, we are. We have the main reins on how we feel. And it's through our actions and our choices. And then usually in the second or the follow-up, then I might give herbs. These are micronourishment to support the digestion. So that's a big one, herbs around getting your digestive fire strong. So my teacher, Ayurveda, says that the strength of your digestive fire is the strength of your health. So a lot of times people go around when I ask, how's your appetite? Right? They say, oh, well, I eat a lot or I'm hungry. But a lot of times we're emotional eating. Or we're eating when we've already, our blood sugar has already plummeted. So herbs to get that fire strong and the awareness to start to, I mean, people sometimes when they work with me, they're like, I don't remember ever feeling hungry like this. Like, you know, that really like hunger that you can feel that warmth in your stomach and then everything tastes really good and digests well. So we have a lot of herbal remedies for that. We also do herbs for the mind. To calm the mind, the nervous system is a big one.
Right.
Because then everything functions. And I guess actually another really big part that I use herbs for is what we call rasayana or rejuvenation. So herbs that support our adrenals, that build strength and juiciness, sap in our bodies and sustainability. So those are the ones that are very safe, that you can take long term, that build and nourish from the roots.
Nice. You had mentioned a quote from your teacher. So can you tell us about your teacher?
Yeah. So my teacher is Dr. Vasant Ladd, and he has his school, the Ayurvedic Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so I studied with him there. And then I also went on to do an advanced training with him, the Gurukula program in India, in Pune, India. Yeah, that was quite an experience. And actually, we're going to be probably in September. I don't have it all worked out yet, but I'll let you know. But he just did, they just did a documentary on him.
Oh, wow. Great.
I think it's called The Healer. Oh, God, I'm forgetting the name. The Healer, but I'll let you know. But anyway, they just did an amazing documentary. So we're going to bring it here to Vashon and share it with the community.
Oh, great. That's going to be wonderful for the community to be able to check that out.
Yeah. And I guess just one thing about Dr. Ladd is... to be with him is to just be loved. And that's what I experienced when I sat in his, in the program with him, is just this feeling of being deeply seen and loved. And so it's a beautiful thing. And he always talks about connecting to the heart of the patient.
Oh,
and that's
beautiful.
That's really the healing. And, that's what he does. And that's what we got to see him do in India with people there, is just really connect on that very deep level.
Wonderful. Do you have a couple stories from India that you might want to share?
Oh.
From your experience there? What was that like?
Yeah, it stayed with me for probably a good year, like, you know, where you just feel that energy. It was very strong. I can't believe I haven't gotten back, but, you know, I had children and I'd love to take them. One memory I'm having that came up thinking of Dr. Ladd is we had a clinic in Pune where he would see patients, and they'd come in, we'd all observe and feel their pulse, and because that's one of the ways we assess someone's constitution, how their state of balance is and where it's gone out of balance. And anyway, people would come in there. So this one family came in, and they were They had their baby with them, and they said their baby wouldn't stop crying.
Hmm.
So one thing that Dr. Ladd does, I don't actually do this, but part of Ayurveda is looking at the Vedic astrology. So, you know, because we're connected to all of that. So he pulled up their charts and he said, oh, this child is the spirit of, or came in from your great grandmother, and you gave her the wrong name.
Oh, gosh.
So he said, you need to give her that name.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did. And then this might be a little out there for people.
No,
but
this is fantastic.
But it's like, yeah, it's like, because that was my experience in India, was like kind of blurring the lines of what we think, is possible and what, you know, so anyway, and then they did that. They changed the baby's name and the baby stopped crying. They came in the next week and were very, very grateful, brought Dr. Ladd food and just lots of gratitude.
Wow, that's an amazing experience. Thanks for sharing that story. Let's see. What is the theory of Ayurveda?
The theory of Ayurveda, I think I shared a little bit about that, but you can't hear it enough, is that it's really about bringing ourselves into balance with our own true nature, like connecting to our strong space. It's, and each of us is unique. So connecting to that unique aspect that we are, made up of the elements, the qualities, the quantities in our body, physically and emotionally. And then bringing ourselves into balance with nature.
Okay, so how do we go about in an appointment, like figuring out what those qualities are within ourselves that we need to balance?
So I start with an Ayurveda consultation. It's a pretty long intake form, and then it's an hour and a half consultation with an hour follow-up. You come in, and we do questioning, observation. I look at your tongue, which is an indicator of what's going on in your digestion and other organs of the body. Mm-hmm. Look at your nails, and I feel your pulse. And yeah, and the pulse is seven layers deep.
Okay.
So you you can feel the organs, the energy, the subtle energy in the body, and determine what's going on. So where the natural state of balance is.
Okay.
So at the lowest pulse is your birth constitution, what you came in with, and that was how you came in at conception. So with your mother's constitution, your father's, what was going on astrologically. And then there's an impact as you're in the womb too, you know, from the emotions of your mother and your parents and what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then there's our own karma. It's just the lessons that we've come in to learn. So all of that is part of that. So we determine what's that natural state for you and where does it move to, and then how to bring yourself back to balance. And I guess I want to share real quick the self-healing principle of Ayurveda.
So yes, please.
So if I were to give, is the self-healing principle is like increases like and the opposite balances.
So could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So if you look at the doshas, so if we just look at vata. So vata is made up of the elements of air and ether. Ether is space. Air is the movement in that space. We can find those in our body in all the spaces. So our GI tract, our lungs, our prana, our life force, that's all governed by vata. The movement of our mind, right? Our thoughts.
Okay.
And then there's qualities of vata. So if you think of an animal that might be most like vata, it might be a bird. Right?
Okay.
So it's light, it's dry, it's cold, it's mobile. Right? So so if you think of a quality, say like mobile, say you have the mobile quality, vata individuals love to be on the go. They love to travel. They're always moving, tapping, love to move.
Okay.
Okay. And so if you have that mobile quality and then already in your natural constitution, and then it increases because you've been traveling a lot or not resting or not stopping, and your mind starts to go, right? And then you're going to experience things like insomnia, or it's going to start to affect the GI tract. That mobile quality can go into the gut and cause digestive issues.
Oh, I see.
Right? So that's like increases like, and the like to eating crunchy, munchy foods, that popcorn increases the mobility quality.
Okay.
Right. All of these increase mobile. So like increases like, the opposite balances. So what would be the opposite of mobile, Liz, when you think about it?
Being still.
Yeah.
Stillness, peace.
So stillness.
Meditating.
Yep. Shavasana, right? For yoga, like laying in still. The other aspect of the one thing that can most balance mobile and vata is routine. So
fascinating.
Yeah. So having routines, right? Having a waking time and eating time, all of these things help to balance that kind of constant going, but find a stopping point.
Oh, so organization would be a still point?
Yeah, well, okay. Lack of organization definitely increases more mobility, right? More worry, true. More stress. But it's the nature of Vata to be a little disorganized, to be spontaneous, to be creative. It's that creative energy. So it's not like there's something wrong with it. So understanding, we talk about a lot in Ayurveda, and I do with my clients, about compassionate self-awareness. It's
beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, I have that mobile quality. I have that creative kind of spontaneous, like all over the place energy, but unmanaged, it can make me not feel grounded, right? So I have to do extra things in my life to ground that energy. So finding routine in any way is so helpful.
Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah. So Vata is one of the doshas. What are the other doshas?
Pitta.
Okay.
Pitta's fire and water. It's our passion. It's our drive, our focus. It governs digestion, heat in the body because of that fire.
Okay. Right? I know people listening may be wondering what their doshas are. And the other dosha, there's one more.
Yeah. Kapha. So kapha is earth and water. So it's our bones, our dense tissues in our body. It's our sense of grounding, connection. It's those earth mama and papas, right? So having more density in body. And it really governs a strong immune system and stability. And so when I talk about each of these, we are all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a functional integrity, right? Like governing the muscles, the tissues, digestion, the mind, right? They're all governed. So all of these elements, like in nature, are present in us.
Okay.
But each of us has them to a different degree. So in quantity and quality, and that's what makes us unique.
Okay. And so I'm sure they can fluctuate too, depending on the season or what's happening in our lives as well.
Yeah, definitely. So understanding your nature and then starting to notice what balance feels like and where you tend to go out of balance.
Okay. So your nature would be your dosha?
Yeah. Your constitution.
Okay.
I mean, the doshas are considered excess or excess in the body.
Okay.
To be eliminated, but we talk about them in terms of our constitution elements.
Got it. Okay. And then you said your questionnaire. So I'm guessing the questionnaire is questions guided towards finding what our constitution is or what our dosha is. So what types of questions are on the questionnaire, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it's pretty in depth. I recently tried to get it a little shorter and it's filling it up. I think we have 9-10 pages.
Wow.
Because a lot of it, just to begin to fill out the questionnaire, I say that's the beginning of your session. It's like taking an intake. And so we talk about digestion, talk about sleep, all these areas, finding out how you sleep, what you do, what's your, anything, any imbalances you note in your body. And then also, emotional, like where your tendencies are, if you get out of balance emotionally, physically. Yeah, so it's pretty comprehensive looking at all the functions of our body.
Okay. And then
more thing is also our habits. So I ask about people's habits in there, what they eat, when they eat, you know, what they consume, coffee,
okay,
you know, sodas, things like that.
And then what would that lead to?
As in what I would do with them from there. Okay. So yeah, in a consultation, again, we'd feel the pulse. We'd look at that. We'd question. And then it would lead to recommendations for creating balance. So might look at, and for everyone, it's different depending on what they're most needing. So, but definitely we look at diet. So there's different foods so coming back to that idea of like increases like.
Right.
Right. The foods have all the elements. Have the different elements present in them. And that's how our bodies recognize it, because we have those elements in us. So our body goes, oh, I know that. Whereas when we eat processed food, our bodies can't recognize it. So it can't transform it into energy. And that's what food is. It's energy. It's life force. It's healing medicine. Dr. Ladd says that a good healer is a good cook.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because that's our main medicine, is our food. So learning how to prepare food for ourselves in a way that's nourishing and healing is a big part of our self-healing.
I did. I noticed that on your website, you have a food and recipe section.
Yeah.
There, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I just think it's a fun, people love that. Love
and they're
recipes.
Kind of unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, some of the things on there. Can you share a few of the things that would be unique to the Ayurvedic tradition?
Yeah.
In
so
the food category.
One thing about food is that people don't think about in terms of satisfaction, not overeating, feeling good and content, and our digestion working well is getting all six tastes in your diet.
Okay.
So right. So sweet, sour. I mean, those ones. People are familiar with sweet, mm-hmm. sour, salty, right?
Yes.
Those are the first ones.
Very familiar,
but
salty.
But less with pungent is spicy.
Ah.
And bitter. Bitter is the most unutilized taste there. As of course, kale is getting more popular. So
yes.
So we're getting more bitter taste. And then astringent. So the greens are more bitter. And then the astringent qualities like our legumes, our beans. So all of these six tastes help to balance our digestion and are important for each phase of digestion in the body.
I see. And what are some tools and practices of Ayurveda?
Well, my favorite is self-massage.
Oh, nice.
So you can definitely come to my center
mm-hmm.
and receive the most amazing massage you've ever had in your life by two practitioners doing warm oil massage, working on marma points. But we can also daily, or at least once or a few times a week, give ourselves a massage. And the word in Sanskrit for oil is snehana. And snehana also means love.
Mm.
So to give ourselves a massage is really an act of self-love. It's bringing ourselves back to loving our bodies and loving ourselves, which is ultimately, again, I have to speak of my teacher because
please do.
But he says, I just took a class a couple of years with him on autoimmune disease.
Mm.
That's
oh, wow.
a big
yeah,
thing that
big,
people
really
are
big
dealing
right
with, right? And he says that ultimately it's lack of self-love.
Wow.
And that if we can bring ourselves back, if we can love ourselves, that all the doshas come home, that everything rights itself and comes into balance.
Oh, that's beautiful, Gail.
Yeah.
So some more. So your consultation. So let's learn more about what you do. So our listeners or anybody who may on the island may want to come visit you, what that would look like. So starting with a consultation, what types of consultations do you have?
I have the Ayurvedic consultation, mm-hmm. which is the hour and a half and an hour follow-up. So that's really looking at the whole picture of you and where you're needing balance. And then we always do the follow-up. I learned that early on. At first I wanted to give everyone everything. That pitta part of people want everything all at once.
Yeah.
But that can create imbalance in itself, right?
Thing, yeah.
we're often trying to do everything really quick, but really change is a slow process. So, doing follow-up consultations. So I have the one follow-up consultation, but then I encourage people to come back, in 2 weeks, a month, every month to come back and bring in that next practice. So doing follow-up consultations. And then I also do individual EFT
okay.
sessions, consultations.
And for those who don't know, what is EFT?
EFT is emotional freedom technique. And it works so beautifully with Ayurveda. I can't even tell you. I had a client. Can I tell you another story?
Yes, please.
I had this client that this was a while ago, but she came in. She was having heart pain and she was having palpitations and she was scared that she was going to die and leave her children.
Wow.
So when I heard that, the fear coming up for her, I thought, oh, well, we should go for the emotional first. So I said, right. It was early in the consultation, but I said, can we do a little bit of this EFT, I explained to her what it was, mm-hmm. tapping. So you're basically tapping on meridian endpoints. And Ayurveda, we have like Chinese medicine, mm-hmm. but we have other channels called shrotas, and these are called marma points. And they're great. Actually the same points. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So I consider
I love how everything is connected.
Yeah. So, so we started tapping on these points
mm-hmm.
and saying, even though I'm scared I'm going to leave my children, I have these palpitations in my heart, I deeply and completely accept myself. So that's the setup phrase, right?
Beautiful.
And then we're tapping through the points. And what it does, accesses the subconscious mind. And so we're tapping. And then she went, oh my gosh, I just had a memory. And what she remembered was being a child and waking up and seeing all the ambulances outside, and the neighbor had had a heart attack.
Wow.
And she had all these children. Mm-hmm. She knew, you know, she was friends with all of her children. And that was terrifying for her. And she stored that in her body. And now that she had children, she was having these heart palpitations. We tapped on that memory, and we cleared that memory that she'd been holding, like an interference in her system. And the pain stopped. By the time she left, she said there was 5% of sensation that she'd had, you know, been off the charts. And when I talked to her, when we did our follow-up, she was completely free of the pain. So we could have gone a long route, right, of doing different practices for the heart and doing, you know, herbs and things. But we cleared it up with just clearing the emotional, not just, but going to the deep underlying root issue.
Great. Gosh, yeah. Can you describe a little bit more about tapping for those who've never heard of it before? And then anywhere you're offering it on the island and within your practice.
Yeah. Wow. So like I said, tapping is tapping on these energy points in the body. And it's so we're pretty, you know, Chinese medicine has really at this point is pretty much mainstream in terms of people understanding that our bodies are made of energy, that we have energy channels in our body that connect to our emotions and all of our organs and tissues, right? So just by stimulating that endpoint, it sends information throughout the body.
Okay. And where are some of these points for people who can't see?
You can go to my website, by the way, and I have a video there. It's
great.
Pretty outdated.
What is your website?
Yeah. It's ayurvedaseattle.com.
Great. And what would they see?
So tapping the side of the hand, that's the setup, like the side the pinky's on. So tapping that side of the hand, and the setup is even though a lot of times whatever we're dealing with feels unlovable, unacceptable. So even
just want to get rid of it.
So, and it's something we're not saying. A lot of times, and I love the law of attraction, but, you know, we think, oh, I have to think positive. But this gets us to the positive in a way that clears out all the mud, you know, on top of it. Like, we're actually giving our emotions a voice. The things that are already going on in our head, we're giving them a voice. So even though I have this fear, right, and the more specific you get, I deeply and completely accept myself. And so then tapping through the points, like the top of the head, between the brows, side of the eye, right?
Nice.
Under the nose. So tapping these different points and, starts to release them and starts to access the subconscious and people. So I follow my clients. It's completely following what's coming up for them, checking in. And it's a practice of noticing the body too, because our trauma, our anxiety, our fear, all of that lives in our body. It's a chemical reaction. So they've done studies with EFT that that just tapping on these points lowers cortisol. They did, which is our main stress hormone.
Yes.
Right? A lot of us are in a constant state of fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
I just tapped with someone yesterday, and we were working on something pretty general, like around her business. It didn't have a lot of charge for her, but it was something she was interested in. We started tapping on it, and she had some new thoughts come up, but she just said, wow, I just feel different in my body. Like just tapping these points, you know, it's like all of a sudden, and I explained to her, it's just the stress hormones get lowered just tapping. And there's something else I wanted to say about that, Liz.
While you're thinking, it's nice to come out of that sympathetic nervous system and drop down into the parasympathetic nervous system and just be able to breathe and relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking about too, like the place in the brain that the amygdala, right, is where we are. That's the fight or flight part of the brain.
Yeah,
and when we're in
there.
That, we are, everything's going. We can't make clear decisions. We can't make rational decisions, you know, so the EFT helps us to quickly come out of that place back to our frontal lobe, back to our ability to think, to rationalize, to be creative, to be spontaneous, to be, you know, to come back into our natural state of being, you know. Oh, here was the thing I wanted to share, because about the study with cortisol.
Great.
Is they did, they had three groups. One group, so they checked their cortisol levels. Mm-hmm. And the first group, they had just sit in meditation. The other group, they had doing talk therapy.
Okay.
And then the third group, they had doing tapping.
Right.
Each of these for an hour. And then they checked the cortisol afterwards. So the, I think the, gosh, now I'm forgetting the numbers, and but I'll put it on my site. But the meditation talk therapy, I think, went down maybe 10%.
Right.
But with the tapping, it was down 27%.
God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and 5 minutes of tapping. I was just watching this online yesterday. They were showing blood under a microscope,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, they can take your blood and see. You can tell a lot about the health and or stagnation in your blood by looking at the flow of it.
Wow.
So they took a group of people. They checked their blood flow, and there mm-hmm. were, several that their blood was not moving. It was clumping. It didn't look healthy. There was something physically going on in the body. And they tapped with them for 5 minutes. And then they checked their blood again. And it was amazing. They had unclumped. They were moving.
That's incredible.
So it's fast. And I love it. And you also, once you learn it, you can do it for yourself anytime, anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I have a practice myself. I do it every morning as part of my morning
Liz,
ritual.
That's so awesome.
And I also tap on my clients as well and have them do some tapping too.
Oh, sweet.
And you share that as well outside of your practice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just did a class for Dove, which was such an honor and just such an amazing community to work with.
Yeah.
And then I did my own class that I just, a group class. And then I have a drop-in class. So if anyone's interested in learning more and connecting, even if you do it or you don't, I've decided it's just open. You can come. You'll learn quickly. And if you do it, it's a great way to energize your practice. So Liz, I'd love to have you. We're shooting for the first Friday of the month.
Oh, great.
But it may not work through the summer.
Right.
So the dates might get moved a little bit.
So first Fridays of the month, about what time?
11 o'clock.
Great.
Yeah, I would like to get one going at night too, because I know that's not always mm-hmm. the best time for everyone.
Yeah, for people who are working,
mm-hmm.
to have a night option.
Yeah.
And then where is that going to be located?
Right now I've been doing it at where my office is, which is at the Common House at Vashon Co-Housing. So we're doing it in the living room downstairs.
And again, that's Life in Balance.
Yeah, yep. Life in Balance.
And then what was your online, page again? So they can reach you. I want to be able to plug that a few times, the conversation,
yeah,
so people
thank
can find you.
You. It's info. No, sorry. That's my that's my email. It's ayurvedaseattle.com.
Great. And then what is your email in case anybody wants to contact
info,
you for consultation?
Info at ayurvedaseattle.com.
Great. And then not only do you have Life in Balance, but you also have Ayurvedic Wisdom for Women.
Yeah.
Ayurvedic.
Yeah. So just it's ayurvedicwisdomforwomen.com.
Great. And then what is that?
Well, that's Sarah and I, she was my partner. Actually, we started Life in Balance together.
Okay.
And then she moved to Hawaii and she started her own practice, which she has a practice. It's called Embrace Ayurveda in Seattle. And then I continued with Life in Balance here. So we love working together, and we really love working with women.
Okay.
And so both of us are mothers, we're doulas. You know, we love Ayurveda. We love working with women in all stages of life, from, you know, conception to perimenopause, menopause, through that. And we also saw a big need for women to come together. A lot of times we're dealing with whatever we're dealing with mm-hmm. alone. And so we know that there's a real power in working together in community and supporting each other for really sustainable practices.
I agree.
And so, we're committed to women having more freedom and through these sustainable practices for their health.
Okay. And they can contact you through the website.
Yeah.
And then what sort of programs? Do you have any programs up and coming, or what programs have you done in the past that you might repeat in the future?
Yeah. Well, the one that we're really excited about right now that we're creating, and it just seems like it's just showing up everywhere with our clients. So we're like, that's the one. But it's called Heal Your Relationship with Food.
Mm, nice.
You know, and it consists of all these Ayurvedic practices, but then that real, like, getting to the to that emotional root as well of why the habits are there. So understanding ourselves is kind of key for changing these habits. And it's going to be a six week course. Mm-hmm. And most spiritual practices, they found that 42 days is the amount of time to change a habit,
yes,
to imprint something. My teacher, Dr. Lottie, says, if you meditated for 42 days straight, you would be enlightened. So we're really excited about that program and doing it together, right? Like to hear other people's struggles around that, mm-hmm, and to have triumph together is so much more fun.
Yes.
It's an online program, so people can do it anywhere.
Oh, that's beautiful, yeah, that you're offering that to, mm-hmm, women. Great. And then, so we're going to go back to Life in Balance and find out what other treatments you can get there. So could you share a few other ones with us?
Yeah. So we do a lot of the ancient traditional treatments. One is Shiradhara.
Okay.
You're now seeing the movie stars receiving this. You can receive it right here on Vashon.
And what is Shiradhara?
Shiradhara is... Shiro means head, Dhara means flow. So it's the flow of warm oil along at the third eye, so between the brows. So it accesses the pituitary pineal gland. It sends us into a deep state of meditation and relaxation. So it's what they call the Turiya state. It's a state half between waking and sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just deeply relaxing and healing, and not just during the time you're there, but it can really reset your nervous system. So it also helps to balance hormones. It helps for insomnia.
So beautiful.
Yeah. And, like I said, we also do the warm oil massage, the four-handed. So I say you're getting massaged by a four-handed goddess. And it feels that way. You're like, what is happening? It's kind of out of this world. And you have warm oils poured on you. And other treatments.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so two people.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Two massage therapists, mm-hmm, you, warm oil.
Simultaneously sounds working on your body.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think everybody should have one of those.
Yeah, and we have different, I'm thinking of two packages we have.
Okay.
If you want to really treat yourself.
Sure. What are those?
And you're worth it. Is our Day of Rejuvenation, which is, I also have a steam box. So it's the Abhyanga. Abhyanga is the warm oil massage.
Okay.
And then with the Shiradhara.
Okay.
And then you also sit in the aromatherapy steam box.
Wow.
So that helps to detox after the oils on a deeper level.
Nice.
And then we do a heart balance or a chakra balancing session. So opening up those energetic pathways.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah. We got to get together and play, Liz.
Definitely.
And then I have another package, which I love. It's called the Sacred Heart Healing. And it includes the EFT. It's the Abhyanga, and then we do what's called a heart basti.
What's a heart basti?
Yeah, putting a do ring, like making an opening at the heart. So we put a do ring around the heart, mm-hmm, area filled with, I put a rose quartz in there and oils.
Nice.
And it just creates this portal. It's sort of like, really, does this work? And it works every time. So we releasing this portal. It's been done, ancient tradition, like for 5,000 years. So when you come back to these practices, they have an energy to them,
mm-hmm,
that create a greater impact than we could if alone, right? The field, basically the energetic field that holds that energy and information. And so in that, we release whatever's needing to be let go of from the heart, and then bringing back in what you're wanting to cultivate and create. And then after that beautiful emotional release, we do the Shiradhara. And so it's very profound.
And the Shiradhara is the third eye point.
Yeah, the warm oil.
Beautiful. And then what goes along with that? You know, is it just dripping, through your hair? Do you get massage with the Shiradhara?
You could come in. So you can do it with the whole massage. But mm-hmm, if you just come in, like you say, I just want to get the Shiradhara bliss. Right? It's an hour and a half session.
Wow.
And it includes a whole scalp massage, scalp and face. There's so many marma energy points on the scalp, mm-hmm, and the head. Like if you're in India, they have places where you can just sit down and they're going to give you a major scalp massage. So you get scalp and head, shoulders, neck.
Nice.
We do other treatments with putting oils in the nose, which opens up the prana, releases blocked emotions. Then we do the feet. So reflexology on the feet and the hands. And then you're good and relaxed. And then we run the Shirdar oil for about 30 minutes.
Wow. God, that sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the heart bhasti. You also have eye bhasti available.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So it's called Netra Bhasti. Netra means eye. And you put the dough ring around each eye individually.
Wow.
And you put ghee in
and
the eye.
For those who don't know what ghee is.
Yeah, it's clarified butter. So it's butter that's been cooked to take all the milk solids out of it.
Okay. And then what's the purpose of putting the ghee on the eyes?
It sounds really odd, but it feels so good. It's deeply relaxing. I have to keep telling my clients, open your eyes, because it just makes you want to go out, because it does work on the nervous system.
Oh.
And it also is one of the seats of pitta. Pitta is governed by the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps to move heat and energy. It helps through the eyes. So that stagnation can happen there. And it helps to remove particles in the nervous, that get released through the eyes from the nervous system. So it can help with dry eyes. It can help with eye strain. They've used it for consecutive treatments with glaucoma. And what's the other eye condition? I'm not thinking of it right now. But one thing, my client that was just here for Panchakarma, I asked her if she had any surprising results from the week of being here, right? Something unexpected. And she said, well, that Netra Bhasti, the eye treatment, was really surprising. She said it felt so good. But then also she has floaters in her eye.
Okay.
Which can often be an indication. People might have different ideas about that. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's an indication of the adrenals being taxed too.
Interesting.
So, but for her.
And everybody has taxed adrenals these days.
Everybody's
in go.
Yeah, we all kind of have some floaters, but hers were pretty extreme. And after just one netra, her floaters were gone.
Wow.
Gone. She was like, that was really.
That's incredible.
Yeah, she's like, that was surprising.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so you mentioned Panchakarma, and you've mentioned it a couple times. Can you explain to everybody what that is?
Yeah. So pancha means five, karma is actions. So it's the five actions of removing toxins from the body. And let's see here. So it's an ancient tradition of removing these toxins. So there's a preparation phase, and we prepare the body through diet, through eating an Ayurvedic cleansing diet, which is khichdi.
Okay. What is khichdi?
Khichdi is I just had it this morning, actually. it's a great thing to eat if you just are feeling like your belly's a little off or you need a rest. And it's a grain and a bean.
Okay.
Predominantly mung bean. So you cook those together with spices and then, of course, get all the five tastes on it, which is what makes it yummy, with lime, ginger, coconut.
Mm. Yum.
Yeah, cilantro on top. So anyway, they're eating, but just to clarify too, some people don't eat grains. They're like, can I do Panchakarma? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we modify the diet for each person. Some people have allergies. They don't do ghee.
Mm-hmm.
We modify them for that because we are doing an internal oleation. So we're giving them on an empty stomach oils in the morning. So ghee, or for my vegan people, it might be coconut oil, or I have this herbal oil called bitter ghee.
Okay. And this is part of a pre-cleanse before
the Panchakarma
begins.
Yeah. And so that helps to mobilize all the toxins and bring them back to the GI tract, bring them out of the deep tissues.
I see.
Yeah. And so then they come into the center and they're receiving 3 to 3.5 hours a day of consultation, EFT, treatments, all the treatments we've talked about, right? And every day is based on what they're needing.
Okay.
So. And I wanted to share too, because it's quite an investment of time and money, but the results are beyond amazing. But because this is something that is so recommended in Ayurveda, to do a cleanse at the change of season. So I offer an Ayurvedic home cleanse.
Great.
And so people can do it from the comfort of their home.
Mm-hmm.
I do it in the fall, so I'll have one coming up in the fall. I think the date is October 3rd.
Okay.
We're going to start doing that. And it's a 2-week cleanse. You have you do a private consultation with me to determine your protocol, because it's individualized in terms of what herbs you take for everyone.
Right.
And then we have weekly calls, and they've just gotten so deep and supportive. I've done this for so many years now that the community that's showing up is really holding each other in this process. So the results are getting better and better, which is exciting.
Oh, it's wonderful to have that extra support of community while you're doing it. Can you tell us about your cleanse programs, just a little bit more about what they entail?
Let's see. Well, I'm getting to the parts that maybe are a little... So after doing the ghee, right, mm-hmm. internally, and you're doing the oils, so whether you're doing it at home or in the center, you're mobilizing toxins through sweating, through giving yourself self-massage or receiving, you're bringing in the mind practices. Because really all of this, without slowing down or bringing any mindfulness, like meditation, breath practices, well, it's fine. But it doesn't get to the depth of what's possible for our healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know at home it's for people so they can still work. But slowing down as much as possible really makes a difference. And so they're doing all these practices, getting the body ready, and then you do a purgation. So
what's
in that
a purgation?
Purgation is moving everything out of the small intestines. So she keeps having to help me here with my mic. A lot of times we use castor oil, but we also have different purgatives, things that help the body purge, basically eliminating everything from the GI tract. You will be cleaned out.
Ah.
Yeah, and if, you know, people feel amazing afterwards. Your fire, your digestive fire comes back up really strong, which feels so good. I had a client who had hepatitis. He'd had it most of his life.
Wow.
And he came in to see me for Panchakarma. We did after the purgation. He was like, this is the first time I've had an appetite in like 10 years.
Wow.
So he just had not experienced. So it just brings back that fire. And like I said before, our fire is connected to our health.
Right.
Our sense of energy. You know, when we don't have digestive energy, when we don't have an appetite, when there's not that fire there, we notice it everywhere, not just in our digestion, but in our passion and experience of life.
Mm.
So really it's energizing that passion for life. And so people experience, that fire coming back, feeling lighter, feeling clear, like mentally clear.
Nice.
And then we bring in the rejuvenation part.
And what's the rejuvenation part?
You know, it's the herbs, it's foods that are particularly rejuvenating, but it's, you know, it's continued self-care. But it's really like, I think of it like if you took a t-shirt, a dirty t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and first we wash it and clean it, and then we dye it with all these beautiful colors, like we tie-dye it. So the rejuvenation is like putting the tie-dye on. So, you know, building up our sap. And these are things that make an Ayurvedic cleanse really different, you know, is that we're actually attending to preparing and then rejuvenating, like building our system up afterwards. A lot of times people do these extreme cleanses. And one, they're left not knowing how to take care of themselves afterwards.
Right.
In Ayurveda, you're actually learning practices that you continue to build on in your life.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a beautiful experience. Do you have a couple stories that you can share with us, maybe of client stories or something like that, where you've had good experiences?
Yeah. I've shared a little about her, but my last one, which was last week, she did an interview with me. She did a testimonial, so I know she'd be fine with me sharing.
Great.
But her experience, like the result was releasing 20 years of emotional holding. You know, when I massaged her chest after that, she's like, wow, there's no pain. And her whole body was pain-free.
Wow.
You know, so that was pretty big.
Those are great results.
Yeah. And she's really committed to going back to the doctors and testing her liver again and then being like, it's healthy. It's
nice.
Good. So we'll let you know
great. When
that happens.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with the community about your practice, about Life in Balance? about what they could gain from coming to see you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a self-healing practice, Ayurveda. So it's about understanding yourself. So a lot of times with medical things, we feel like we're at the whim of someone sort of giving us something or doing something. And although I do give you things and mm-hmm. do things to you, you really become your own healer.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's really...
So you're empowering others, you know, to take control of their...
Yeah, that's actually my mission.
Great.
It's to empower others to take charge of their health.
Nice.
It's part of my mission. Yeah.
That's a beautiful mission. So anything else you can share with us about the Ayurvedic therapies or about your training or what people can get for you from you?
Across the board.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, we have about 4 more minutes, maybe another story or... events or trainings that you offer, anything like that you could share with us?
Mm-hmm.
Some fun recipes that we could take home with us.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, you know, I'm just to answer your question, like what else people might get,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, that being empowered around their health and knowing like a lot of times people experience a lot of symptoms, manifestations in the body, and that's just our body talking to us, right? Telling us something's up here, pay attention.
Right.
And so, but they're at a loss, and it feels like all these things are separate. But often when they come in, they discover that it's related to an imbalance that's connected to all of them, you know, so they start to understand, you know, how to heal themselves and how to heal that, and that it's not all these little parts. Like in Ayurveda, we don't treat the disease. Right. I'm not going in and saying, okay, you have liver disease or you have whatever, acid reflux. We're not going to treat the disease. We attend to bringing each individual into balance, right? And when you come into balance, everything else rights itself. So we're not treating that particular issue. We're looking at the person. Because for one thing, you know, diabetes can be vatagenic. It can be pithogenic. It can be coughogenic. It can involve all the doshas. So, and it's why one person might heal from one treatment and why someone else doesn't. Because when you don't treat the person, then you don't get to the root. So really nice. Looking at the individual person and what they're needing to find balance.
Yeah. Great. Kale, it was lovely having you here today. It's great learning more about this ancient tradition. You have so much to share, and I hope the community finds you and contacts you and learns about you and what you offer and, you know, comes and visits and takes advantage of all these lovely things that you offer. And thank you everyone for joining me this morning. Remember to go out there and raise the vibe, not only within yourself, but within your community. Say hi and smile at a stranger. Be kind to your neighbor. Ask yourself in any given situation, am I creating or being destructive? And if and when you slip, because we all do, pick yourself up and start anew. And then at those times when you're not feeling well, you know, seek a treatment, seek a person like Kale, you know, to bring on your healing team and be a part of your healing journey. This is Raise the Vibe. I'm your host, Liz Peterson, on Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. Have a great day, and thanks for listening, everybody.